بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد دي compiler and the author of this book The Sublime Conduct of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned here 7 du'as, 7 supplications pertaining to traveling. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intended to travel, and when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would embark on a journey, he would read these dua or some of these dua. Ali radiyallahu anhu, Uthman radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Sarjis radiyallahu anhu, Anas radiyallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, these companions have narrated these supplications of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for the benefit of the ummah. And there was so much barakah in the actions of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the teaching of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the intentions of the Sahaba, the companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, that even after 14.5 centuries approximately, these supplications are reaching the members of the ummah, the individuals of the ummah. So that in itself is a great miracle. And in it there is an element of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His kindness, through His mercy, through His rahmah, desired that these very beneficial and very precious supplications reach the ummah far and wide, even after 1440 years, so that they may benefit from these supplications. The gist of these supplications is that, O Allah, with Your assistance do I attack the enemy, with Your assistance do I abstain from evil, and with Your assistance do I travel. So sometimes Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would travel on an expedition where he would be facing the enemy. So during those circumstances, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make this dua, O Allah, with Your assistance do I attack the enemy. And similarly, during those days, even if a person was not on a journey where he was to face the enemy, anything could happen, because the roads were not as safe as they are today. So this dua is so precious for a traveler, even in countries where there is no rule of law, where people do not abide by the laws of the country, it is very beneficial today also, that a person leaves his home when traveling and he says, "Oh Allah, with your assistance do I attack the enemy." That means I attack the enemy, I defend myself, and with your assistance do I abstain from evil. Because during a journey it is more difficult to abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than at home. Because you can freely use your eyes, freely use your ears, freely use your tongue. During journey, you may come across circumstances where you feel that you are compelled to do this because of circumstances, whereas in reality you are able to safeguard yourself. So there are more opportunities to commit sins outside than inside the home. So before leaving, you make dua that, "Oh Allah, with your assistance do I abstain from evil." And because we are traveling, so we travel also, "Oh Allah, with your assistance do I travel." So we are asking the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter the second dua, "I believe in Allah." So we are reaffirming our faith before leaving the home, that "I am a mu'min, I am a believer. And therefore, I must behave like a believer. I have certain rules to follow. Certain things I have to do, certain things I have to abstain from." And then we take protection from Allah by saying, "I remain attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I totally rely on Him." So He is the one who I seek refuge in, and it is He who will look after me. And then again, it is very difficult to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, we say there is no power to abstain from sin, and there is no ability to do good except with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our matters, the matters of deen and matters of dunya. And thereafter, the third dua, wherein we are saying, "Oh Allah, you are our companion whilst traveling." That means I am handing myself over to you for protection. And you are our successor in respect of our families. That means I am leaving home and I am leaving you as a deputy or as a successor to look after my family. So I am handing over myself to you and I am handing over my family to you. And thereafter we are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, be with us on our journey." Because we have handed ourselves over to you and we have total confidence in you, and we are saying that you are our companion, so be with us throughout the journey and be our replacement for our family. That means look after our family. "And oh Allah, we seek refuge in you against the difficulties of traveling." So many difficulties a person can experience whilst traveling, even in this modern age of technology, age of progress. "So oh Allah, we seek refuge in you against the difficulties of traveling. We seek refuge in you against being overtaken by unpleasant circumstances. And we seek your refuge against perpetrating vice. We seek refuge in you against being afflicted by the prayer of the oppressed." Because in journey sometimes we come across a person and we may oppress him, we may be unfair to him. And if he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he curses then his dua is readily accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. Create a barrier between yourselves and the prayer of the oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ hijab. Because there is no veil between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His dua is mustajab, his dua is accepted. So in during journey, we may come across somebody who we may oppress because of our behavior. So here, we are saying that, O Allah, I seek your refuge against being afflicted by the prayer of the oppressed. That means, O Allah, I seek your refuge from oppressing anybody. And from any dreadful condition in respect of our family and belongings. That means during our absence, we do not want to hear any news, any bad news, any negative news, any dreadful news regarding our family members or our property, our business, our shop, our farms, our orchard. So very beautiful duas that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught. If we are unable to memorize all of them, then at least we should memorize one dua, two duas, three duas. And whenever we intend to embark on a journey, then we must make this dua before traveling. The first dua is, O Allah, with your assistance do I go forth. Three things we see common in nearly every supplication. One is to have total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek protection from Him only and hand yourself and all your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, the second thing we see in every dua is that we are giving our family, our possessions, our belongings, everything that we are leaving behind, everything that is of concern to us in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing we see in every dua is that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us from His disobedience. Even in this dua, O Allah, with your assistance do I go forth. That means I will only be able to travel with your assistance. And I turn to you and I cling to you only. O Allah, on you only do I rely, and in you do I have my hopes. O Allah, suffice for me in every important and unimportant task, and in every matter which you are more aware about than me. Grant me piety. Forgive my sins and guide me towards righteousness wherever I may be. The fifth dua, O Allah, you are our traveling companion and our deputy in our families. O Allah, accompany us with goodness and take us in your protection. O Allah, fold the earth. That means make the distance short. Make the journey easy. O Allah, fold the earth and make the travel easy. We seek refuge in you against the difficulties of traveling and being overtaken by unpleasant circumstances. The sixth dua, O Allah, let this be a means to goodness and a means of your forgiveness and pleasure. Indeed, you have power over everything. O Allah, you are our traveling companion and our deputy in our families. O Allah, fold the earth and make the journey easy. We seek refuge in you against the difficulties of traveling and being overtaken by unpleasant circumstances. And finally, O Allah, you are our deputy in our families and our traveling companion. O Allah, we ask you for righteousness and piety in this journey. Keep us occupied with that which pleases you and makes you happy. O Allah, help us in this journey and fold up its distance. So very beautiful supplications, very valuable supplications, and very beneficial supplications. these supplications will benefit us from all aspects, from dini aspects, from dunyavi aspects, from the aspects of this world, from the aspects of the hereafter. So I would urge each and every listener that number one, try to make this an objective of life, that I want to learn as many masnoon supplications, those supplications that were taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to learn as many masnoon supplications as possible and then read them whenever the opportunity arises. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of the unseen. He is all seeing, He is all hearing, He has the knowledge of the unseen, He has the knowledge of the future, He has the knowledge of the whole system of His creation, the whole universe. And it is He who inspired His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is He who sent revelation upon His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that during these moments you should be reciting these duas. So there can be no better supplication, there can be no better dua for a particular circumstance than the one taught to us by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, if the whole world was asked to compose a dua for a particular scenario, for a particular aspect of our lives, for example, before eating, during eating, after eating, before going to the lavatory, after leaving the lavatory, when traveling, whilst traveling, then despite knowing all the supplications of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and despite studying these supplications, if a person, the most intelligent of the people, was asked to compose a supplication for that particular scenario or for that particular aspect of our lives, he will not be able to compose anything better than what is already there in the books of Ahadith. So number one, try to learn as many supplications as possible. And to start off with, we can start with radiant prayers by Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Hafidhahullahu Ta'ala. Try to acquire a copy of radiant prayers. And those people who are more enthusiastic, then try to learn one supplication per week from that book. You don't have to go from cover to cover. Pick and choose whichever you desire to learn first. One dua per week. And we would have learned 52 dua by the end of the year. And in 10 years, inshallah, we would have learned 520 duas. Imagine someone knowing 520 supplications, and during the 24 hours of his life he is reciting these supplications on the correct, on the occasion for which the dua is prescribed. The barakat that he will acquire, the help of Allah that he will acquire, the progress he will make in deen and dunya, and the closeness he will be able to acquire, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is for our benefit, our dunyavi benefit and the ukhravi benefit, worldly benefit and the benefit of the hereafter. And those of us who are not so enthusiastic, or we are enthusiastic but memory is not so powerful, or we have lack of time because we are very busy, make a point of learning one dua every month. So inshallah, in 10 years we would have learned 120 supplications, mashallah. Very big progress. And make sure that the dua that you read, you practice also. So once we have learned that, when entering the masjid, we say, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. then we must read this, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmati. Before going to the lavatory, the dua is, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'id. So we learn it and we make sure that we read it. So begin with radiant prayers. And those of us who already know the du'as that are in radiant prayers, then the next step is al-hisnul haseen. Try to find more du'as from there and try to learn. And learn and practice. Learn and practice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala li majma'in have reported many du'as for one occasion. If you are able to read all of them, alhamdulillah. If not, then whatever we are able to learn. So this is point number one. That we try to learn as many du'as as possible, many masnoon supplications as possible, and we should read it. And if we are able to read it with our heart and mind, so the tongue is also reading the du'a, and our heart and mind is with our tongue, then it is even more better. But those of us who are unable to concentrate, just lip service will not go to waste as well. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, you will know how much you have benefited. But those of us who are able to read with our tongue and concentrate with our hearts and minds, those of us who know the Arabic language and who understand these, or those of us who do not know the Arabic language, but whilst reciting this dua, we keep in our minds that I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some beautiful things that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked me to ask on this occasion that I am in, then inshallah you will find that you are progressing in your tazkiyah. You will find that slowly, 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 your heart is being purified from ghafla, negligence. And your heart is becoming dhakir. Your heart is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is becoming more alert as far as the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. So let us attach ourselves to this supplication. It is a form of great zikr. It is a form of great zikr. And it is through zikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to remember Him in abundance. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. And it is through abundant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person's heart is purified from ghafla, negligence. And it regains the alertness that is required to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of which he will only do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will stay away from that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was his sheer kindness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to remember him in abundance. And Quran is also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason we are encouraged again and again to recite the Quran on a daily basis. The tasbih, the tahmid, the tahleel, the takbir, these are all remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, subhanallah walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Dua is also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we are making dua, our thought is centered on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَاقِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. And masnoon supplications, they are also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst masnoon supplications is also the greeting of salam. When we say to each other, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, this is also masnoon supplication. It is also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because with this greeting, we are making dua for each other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace of Allah be upon you. May the mercy of Allah be upon you. May the barakat of Allah be upon you. And in reply we say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the same thing again, mashallah. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will learn as many supplications as possible, and inshallah we will read those supplications which we have already memorized, and we will also read those supplications which we memorize with regularity. And I urge every brother and every sister listening to me that try to acquire a copy of this book, The Sublime Conduct of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sublime Conduct of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is approximately 790, nearly 800 pages. And make it a habit of reading this book at least once a week as a family, with the intention of practicing whatever we read. And every Friday night after the Maghrib Salat in summer, this book is read out from the Islamic Dawah Academy to the congregation. People benefit at home as well through the transmitting system, through internet Mixler, and everybody is encouraged to emulate our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Three things we say over and over again every Friday night. Number one, attach yourself to the teachings of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the way of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is faraid, wajibat, sunan muakkada, sunan ghair muakkada, and mustahabbat and nawafil. So attach yourself to the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and do not look down upon the smallest sunnah. No sunnah is insignificant. The insignificant sunnah is very significant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by practicing an insignificant sunnah with love and with reverence, a person will become significant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us try to inculcate sunan in our lives. Sunan. And fard is also the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wajib is also the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunan muakkada, the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunan ghair muakkada, mustahabbat and nawafil. And thereafter, the second point that is emphasized every Friday is that one should recite salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a regular basis. Daily and more on Friday. Daily one should try to send at least 300 salutations upon our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Friday more. And slowly, slowly increase this quantity on a daily basis and also on Fridays. And the third point is that every person should read the seerah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every person should sit in the company of the ulama, in the durus of the Quran, in the durus of the ahadith, and learn from the ulama the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so one is able to appreciate and practice those teachings. And what we have discussed today is also part of the life of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Supplications. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes I think to myself that if we gather together only the supplications of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam for various occasions, and then think to ourselves that a person is given prophethood at the age of 40 and he lives in this world until the age of 63, and in 23 he taught the whole deen. That is a great miracle. But if we just gather together only the masnoon supplications, which are in hundreds, and then think to ourselves that how did this one person teach so many supplications in only 23 years? And those people who do not believe in the prophethood of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the non-believers, the non-Muslims, we should say to them that can a person be so genius that in 23 years he is able to compose so many supplications for the various occasions of a human's life? He has not left a single scenario in human life where a person has to think that is there a Muslim supplication for this? Not a single. And he has not taught only one supplication. Supplications. Allahu Akbar. And then, if we look at those supplications which are not connected to any particular time, just supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fasaha and the balagha that we find in his supplications, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he had and how he would call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what he would ask for, a person will very easily reach this conclusion that a human cannot do this. Such a person has to be extra human, and extra human can only be a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, my sisters, we are very fortunate that we believe in this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest Nabi, the best Nabi, the unique Nabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to this earth. We believe in him, alhamdulillah. We love him, alhamdulillah. Let us benefit from all the good, all the precious things that he has left behind, and let us practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.